Peter B. Collins with news and comment here on Thursday, May 24, 2012. Our opening music from the Canadian band Rush. It's called The Big Money. And our lead story today comes from north of the border, a protest movement that has been underway since February and largely ignored in the U.S. media until today, because 518 people were arrested overnight in Quebec in the protests over higher university tuition. And this occurred in Montreal. There was some violence as protesters hurled objects at police, and the police declared the protest illegal and tried to break it up. And as I mentioned, this is a long-running dispute, and I credit my friend Sabelle Edmonds and her website Boiling Frogs Post and one of her correspondents, Andrew Gavin Marshall, who has a detailed report that you can find at boilingfrogspost.com. And he said this goes back to February, and it is a protest against a planned 75% increase in tuition. And he says that for 3 months, students have protested night and day, with over 200 protests in Montreal alone. And this led to the larger protest and the police breakup of it that occurred yesterday. On the 100th day of the strike, which was May 22nd, there was a massive display of civil disobedience. Up to 500,000 people took to the streets of Montreal to protest, and he says illegally, with solidarity protests taking place in Toronto, Calgary, Vancouver, New York, and Paris. You can find out more at boilingfrogspost.com. In Baghdad, the talks between Iran and six world powers did not score a breakthrough, but after 2 days of talks, they have agreed to reconvene and meet in Moscow next month. The European Union's top official and lead negotiator, Catherine Ashton, told a news conference that significant problems remain in the talks with the Iranian side, but didn't specify. What we have now, she says, is some common ground and a meeting in place where we can take that further forward. The next round of talks, June 18 and 19, in Moscow, and Russia is one of the six powers that includes the U.S., China, Britain, France, and Germany. A senior American official said the six powers had never expected to reach an agreement at the Baghdad talks. They described the Baghdad discussions as difficult, and that the Iranians had pushed hard to have their right to nuclear fuel enrichment recognized, and Iran is also pushing for a relaxation of the sanctions, which continue to be ratcheted up. Some oil sanctions go into effect in July, and they've been pushing hard to try to soften those plans. The United States Senate, in a committee hearing today, passed a measure that would cut off funding to Pakistan by $33 million. And the $33 million figure was arrived at by multiplying $1 million by the 33-year sentence of the Pakistani doctor who has been committed of treason. His name is Shakil Afridi, and he ran a vaccination program as essentially an agent for the CIA, and he was able to verify bin Laden's presence at the compound in Abbottabad, according to the U.S. narrative, where U.S. commandos found and killed Osama bin Laden in May of 2011. And the U.S. is protesting, calling for Afridi's release, saying that he was acting in the interest of the United States and Pakistan, but this is Pakistan's way of punishing the United States. Of course, this measure is pretty silly and quite meaningless, because as we cut off $33 million, we're also proposing with our left hand to provide an additional $1 billion in aid to Pakistan, including a payment of $5,000 per truck to pass through the Pakistani region that connects to Afghanistan. This supply route was cut off last November after the United States killed 24 Pakistani troops in what was described as an errant attack. We've been following the case of the prosecutors who were accused of official misconduct in the prosecution of the late senator from Alaska, Ted Stevens. He was a corrupt guy, but the prosecution was corrupt in its efforts to prosecute him. And today, the Justice Department's internal ethics watchdog says that two of those prosecutors engaged in reckless professional misconduct by failing to disclose information favorable to the defense. Now, this is a good step. But as we discussed just the other day with Roger Shuler in our in-depth interview podcast regarding the Judge Mark Fuller situation in Alabama, the railroading of Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama, and if the prosecution had revealed to the Siegelman defense team the way that they gathered their evidence, the way they coached the key witness whose testimony was used to convict Don Siegelman, and other efforts that really made it a lopsided, unfair, unjust prosecution, well, I don't think Don Siegelman would still be in court fighting for his freedom, and I don't think the Justice Department would be arguing that he deserves an even longer sentence than the 7 years he was originally sentenced to. Well, my friend Gary Chu sent an email around today. Gary, of course, is our official film reviewer here at peterbcollins.com. And he sent around a link to a Rachel Maddow story, which I watched with interest on her broadcast on Wednesday night on MSNBC. And because I know the history, and it goes all the way back to Nixon and Watergate, and we traversed some of that history in our most recent in-depth interview podcast with Robert Perry. And Maddow repeatedly ran the clip of Nixon in his famous post-presidential David Frost interview, where he said, well, if the president does it, it's not illegal. And she related to Watergate, Iran-Contra, and then fast-forwarded to the Bush-Cheney administration. And her expansive setup was designed to create a negative context to report that Dick Cheney, perhaps the most evil man to serve in American government in my lifetime, is now holding a fundraiser for Mitt Romney. And she made the connection that while George W. Bush is persona non grata in this Republican campaign, and that his recent comment before the elevator doors closed that he's supporting Mitt Romney is the closest we have to an endorsement from the most recent Republican president to its front-running nominee for the candidacy this year. At any rate, it was a great story, up to a point. And that point was that it didn't mention the failure of the Obama administration to prosecute the clear wrongdoing that occurred during the Bush era, and it didn't bother to mention that Barack Obama is probably guilty of some of the same illegal behavior that she is, you know, referring to related to Bush and Cheney. And in particular, his targeting of the American citizen Anwar al-Awlaki for a deadly drone strike that occurred last September is just one obvious case of apparent lawbreaking and unconstitutional behavior by the current president. But of course, on MSDNC, you can't go there. And Rachel doesn't. And while we're on the cable channels, over at CNN, they have hit a 20-year low in the ratings. And at the same time, Piers Morgan, the British chap that they hired to replace Larry King, has taken that show into the basement. This occurs at the same time that Piers Morgan is implicated in the telephone hacking scandals in Britain. And there is a quote out today from a guy who worked from him at a British newspaper where he was editor. They went to lunch, and Piers Morgan lectured him on how to secure his cell phone and how easy it is to hack in because most people never set up a password feature, and the default one that came from the factory is either four zeros or 1234. So Piers Morgan had that detailed knowledge of how phone hacking works that he shared with a colleague, and yet he's tried to pretend that he had nothing to do with it, knows nothing about it, and is just here in the United States to make a buck. And I have tried to watch him on CNN, and it's impossible. His show is a gossipy celebrity fest that doesn't come anywhere near to being appropriate for a news channel. And I guess I'm not alone, because the viewership has hit rock bottom. All right, Piers Morgan Tonight started off with 2.1 million viewers in January of 2011, and now the total viewership is down to 429,000. And in the target demographic of 25 to 54, Piers Morgan is attracting less than 40,000 viewers across the whole damn country. And this is infecting the news programs. Anderson Cooper's 360 has a total of 352,000 viewers and less than 100,000 in the sweet spot demographic of 25 to 54. And I think that it is the celebrity news and the overcoverage of the Trayvon Martin case and its controversies that led people to tune out from CNN. And it'll be very interesting to see if the people who run CNN decide that the cure for their low ratings is more cheesy stuff, more tabloid stuff, or whether they will attempt to return to their roots and actually cover the news. And finally today, it makes me feel good when I hear the story of someone who's been falsely convicted who finally wins his freedom. Former Long Beach High School football star Brian Banks was convicted of raping a classmate 10 years ago, and on Thursday, his conviction was dismissed after his accuser recanted her story. Banks trembled with sobs after a brief hearing in which prosecutors said they had no objection to his conviction being reversed. And he's quoted as saying, "My only dream in the world is just to be free." He was a 17-year-old college football prospect, and in 2002, a classmate accused him of kidnapping and raping her. He maintained the sex was consensual, but his lawyer said he ought to take a plea deal rather than having the he said, she said case go to trial. He pleaded no contest to one count of forcible rape and was incarcerated for 6 years and had to register as a sex offender. And in a movie-worthy twist, his former accuser got in touch with him via Facebook after he left prison. They eventually met in person, and in court papers, she admitted that she had lied, but refused to tell prosecutors because she would have to give back the $1.5 million reward that she had been paid. That's blood money. And I hope there is some cash settlement for Brian Banks for the nightmare that he endured. Thanks for joining me for today's news and comment. I'll be back at you next Tuesday after a holiday weekend break. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.